Our series title is The Sevens of Revelation. Thank you. And you'll remember that seven stands for a very special symbolic meaning in the Bible. In prophecy or in different recordings in Scripture, the number seven implies completeness or it implies perfection. And as we go along, we'll get to that a little bit more. So we're looking at the sevens in the book of Revelation. Last week we looked at the seven churches. And today we are going to look at the seven persecuting powers. So I want to invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Revelation 17. Because of the shortness of the time, we're going to get right to it. So please open your Bibles. Go to Revelation 17. And know that now, in contrast to the seven churches of the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, we're now going to look at the seven persecuting powers that are brought to us and highlighted throughout the book of Revelation, but especially chapter 17, okay? So if you all got it there, let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father, in the moments remaining, I pray for your Spirit to make this information understandable so that every single person can glean from this assurance that you know what you're doing, you're there, and you're warning your people always from in advance. And Lord, use me now, in spite of me, to be a blessing and to honor your name and to bring glory and power to your kingdom. So bless now and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, children, you got your Bibles? Turn to Revelation chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And I guarantee that I'll make it simple. I saw something I never saw before. Okay, let's read. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy and having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And those who dwell on earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they see the beast that was, is not, yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There also seven kings. Seven had fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seventh and is going to perdition. Now you all understand that, right? You're praising God. Okay, so I'm going to try to make some sense out of this. So let's cut right to the heart of what I'm trying to do today. Take a look at verse 10 and 11 again. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and another is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. This is what we want to talk about today. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. Even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh. Revelation 17, 10, 11. Now, just look at that for a second. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. Even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh. Who are the seven persecuting powers? I'll tell you, it's amazing to me to see the number of different, varied suggestions that have been made by many different interpreters. But I'm going to start by answering that right away. Five are fallen, one is, and another is yet to come. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. Okay? So John is in vision, and he says five are fallen. Well, in the days of John, Egypt gone, Assyria gone, Babylon gone, Medo-Persia gone, Greece gone. One is. That's present tense. In the time of John writing, that was pagan Rome. And one is still to come. And that is papal Rome. And the eighth would be the resurrected papal Rome. But there's really only seven. Am I right? Well, let's take a look. Let's look at where the woman sits. This will blow you away. Look at verse 1. Where does the woman sit? Look at verse 1 again. Chapter 17, verse 1. The great whore who sits on what? Okay, many waters. Now take a look at verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a what? Scarlet-colored beast having seven heads and 10 horns. Okay, now wait a minute. We just heard that she was sitting on many waters. The narrative continues, and all of a sudden she's on a scarlet-colored beast. So is it not logical that we assume that the scarlet-colored beast must be the same as many waters? Do you think? Oh, you're not with me yet. Okay. Okay. So let's look at verse 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? And I'll tell you why he marveled in a second. I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, that has seven heads and 10 horns. So we are told that she's on many waters. Then we're told that she's on a scarlet beast. Then we're told she's on a beast. And by the way, the scarlet beast had 7 heads, 10 horns. And the beast have 7 heads and 10 horns. So can we not assume that the scarlet beast of 3 must be the same beast as 7? Are you with me? Okay. They both have 7 heads and 10 horns. Chapter, verse 9. This lady does a lot of sitting, doesn't she? Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And they are seven kings. She sits on seven heads, she sits on seven mountains, and she sits on seven kings. If you haven't picked it up yet, I want you to know the first part of the vision, John saw the woman on many waters, is a scarlet-colored beast with seven heads and ten horns, and that turns out to also be seven heads and seven mountains, seven kings. They're all meaning the same thing. There's no mystery here. Even though there are all these different symbols, they're all referring to the same thing. Seven persecuting powers that have inflicted punishment and torture and pain and death on God's people from day one till the end of time. Remember, seven is completeness. The seven churches. We saw the first church represented the beginning of Christianity and the last church the ending of Christianity. And that church was sound asleep, right? Lukewarm. So she sits on many waters. She sits on a scarlet beast. She sits on a beast. She sits on seven heads, seven mountains, seven kings. Why? They all represent the same thing. Well, we've got to look at verse 15. Then she said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now I'm going to do something here. Just take a second. First of all, I'm asserting to you that by the word sit, we are informed that all these different symbols are all the same. Okay? The many waters is the same as the scarlet beast with ten heads and seven horns. Seven heads and ten horns. The beast with seven heads and ten horns, which is also heads, mountains, kings, which is also people, multitude, nations, and tongue. If you look carefully at these five verses, you will see this whole chapter is talking about seven persecuting powers using the symbol of water, beast, heads, mountains, kings, peoples, nations, tongues. In fact, here's what I'm going to share with you. That if you look at verse 1, you'll realize the context is in reference to the seven angels who poured out the seven last plagues. So John is giving you and I a vision of the last power that comes into existence in the very end of time that persecutes and tries to kill God's people. In fact, I never knew this before, and I'm so excited to find out that chapter 17 actually is an illumination of the seven last plagues in chapter 16, especially the sixth and seventh plague. The reason I'm so excited is because I think in the fall, if I can wait that long, I'm going to redo the whole book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, with you for Vespers. And all this new information is coming to me, blowing my mind. Chapter 17 is additional information to help us to understand the seven last plagues. So this woman on the water, this woman on the scarlet-colored beast, this woman on the beast, the woman on the heads and the mountains and the kings, and the woman on multitude, nation, tongues, is a picture of the very last enemy of God, of the seven that tries to annihilate God's people, but before he succeeds, according to the plagues in chapter 16, Jesus divinely intervenes. Come on, hallelujah! Yes! There'll be no more persecutions and death by the millions like there was in the Dark Ages. Because Jesus is going to stand up before that happens again. So number one, notice the context. The context is the last days. We're talking about the seven angels who pour out the bowls of the seven last plagues, which means probation's already closed. This is the very end. We are given in chapter 17 a view of the last enemy that will attack us, folks, and how it'll actually entail the whole world against the commandments of God. Okay? Something else I want you to see. Notice that, you know, take a look at verse 7. This is something I never noticed before that's very interesting. To help you understand what I'm trying to say in the seven persecuting powers to see that I'm right. I want you to notice what it says here. But the angel said to John, "Why did you marvel?" Can I tell you now why he marveled? Do you want to know or you want to keep going? Do you want to know? Okay. I never knew this before. John marveled because he couldn't believe that this power came back to existence and was allowed to do the same thing he did in the Dark Ages. Do you have any idea the millions of people who were killed in the name of God during the Dark Ages who were following the Bible? Millions of martyrs. They were tortured to bring out of them confessions that they were heretics in the church basement on the rack because they believed and followed the Bible. They were thrown off of mountains. They were burned at the stake. And John is marveling because this same power comes back a second time and is allowed to allow it to happen again. I'm talking about the Middle Ages, which is just what? 500 years ago? And it's allowed to happen again? Boy, was Jeremiah right. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He marveled, folks, not because this was a wonderful sight. He marveled that this beast could come back to the same spot again and put God's true people who keep His commandments in jeopardy. The death decree. Well, take a look. Here in verse 7, it says, "I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast." Now notice, the angel divides the two. And by the way, I'll make it simple for you. When the woman's on the beast, the woman always stands what? The symbol of a woman in prophecy is what? Church. You got it. Church. The church is now running the civil government for the purpose of getting its dogma enforced. That's what happened during the Dark Ages. Okay? But that was just in Europe. In the last days, it will entail the whole world, not just Europe. And so when the woman's on the beast, it means that the church is in full control of the civil powers. But the angel said, now let's move the woman just for a second, John. And I want you to look at the beast. And it says it has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast you saw was, is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. The beast that was and is not. You know what that means? That it was alive, and then it died, and then it had a resurrection. Who do you know that was alive and died and had a resurrection? Jesus Christ. And so again we discover that everything of God in the book of Revelation is counterfeited by Satan. For Satan now has a power that was alive and died and had a resurrection experience. So he says, I want you to see this, John. The beast was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And my class knows what that means, don't you? Ascends out of the bottomless pit means what? Scaredy cats. Comes from hell, the earth, Satan. If you read carefully, everything good comes from what? Above. But everything bad comes from below. So don't think there's some hole somewhere that you can look down and there's no bottom. Okay? That's a form to tell you that everything frightening and evil, think of a bottomless pit. If I fell in, I'd keep falling forever. That's scary. Can you imagine you'd starve to death on the way down? And what it means is it's earthly. It's evil. So this had a life. It was killed and then it was resurrected. But notice that the angel makes sure John realized this is not a resurrection from heaven. This is from the pit of hell. And it goes into perdition. And everybody marveled. It says they marveled. Did you notice that? It says, where did I lose my... Oh, the wind's blowing my... The beast which you saw was, is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit, go into perdition, and those who dwell in the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the earth. See? That means that those whose names are in the book of life will not marvel. They will be horrified at such a sight. How can this happen again? But notice, when we get to the end of verse number 7 or 8, it says, when they see the beast who was and is not and yet to come. So it's repeated the second time in verse number 8. Two times in one verse, it repeats this fact about that beast. Ah, the angel's telling us something, right? But take a look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is the seventh and is going to perdition. Oh man, going to perdition. That's put twice. Aren't you glad the beast is going to perdition? Yeah. But notice, what's interesting is it says the beast had a life, death, resurrection experience. And then it says, and that beast was the eighth, which is the seventh. You got it? I hear an amen, but that isn't, I don't know if you got it. But okay, so let me see if I can confuse you some more. Let's look at Revelation 13, verse 3. And I saw one of the heads. And by the way, yes, there's a beast in Revelation 13 that has 7 heads and 10 horns. Did you know that? Okay. And it says, I saw one of the 7 heads as it was wounded to death. And by the way, in the Greek, that means killed. Not just wounded. That's what the translators King James put. The Greek says, destroyed. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world did what? Wandered. There's the word marvel again. Hey, wait a minute. That's what it said about the beast in Revelation 17, right? Oh, wait a minute. Verse 12 says, the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Wait a minute. Verse 14 of Revelation 13 says, the beast which had a wound by the sword and did live goes into perdition. You all know the beast of Revelation 13, don't you? The papacy. The very same beast of Revelation 17. Do you see the correlation? Oh boy. We're having fun. The deadly wound was healed. It received a wound, but it was healed. And so we see that these persecuting powers indeed, but something happened with my thing. It's supposed to say there, five are fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. One is pagan Roman Empire, and the other is not yet papal Rome resurrected. How can that be the eighth when there's only seven? Do you know the answer to that question? You know what the number eight stands for in the Bible? Resurrection. You know, in the Greek, Jesus' name in the Greek is 888. And Jesus is life, new life, resurrection. And in Revelation 13, the beast is 666. And it means earthly death. So when it says it is the eighth, but is of the seventh, it is acknowledging that the beast, or the dragon, counterfeited the life, death, resurrection experience of Jesus through the beast. It lived and reigned during the Dark Ages. When that Dark Ages of persecution was over, it was wounded mortally, taken into captivity and done away with in Rome until Mussolini came to power in 1929 and gave the papal property back, and the whole thing started again. And now Revelation 17 is telling us that we are soon reaching the time when all the world will again wander after the beast who had a life, death, and resurrection experience. So, folks, there are seven persecuting powers. By the way, let me show you something just for the fun of it, for those of you who can catch it. You can't see very well, but if you look at Revelation 12, verse 3, I need to stop here. Oh, boy. It says, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns on his head." Take a look at Revelation 13:2. Revelation 13:2 says, "Now the beast which I saw," or excuse me, Revelation is 13:1. "And then I stood on the sands of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on the horns ten crowns, and on his head the names of blasphemy." And then we go over to Revelation 17, verse 3 again, and it says, "So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." Now, what is the difference in those three occurrences? Did you ever notice it? In Revelation 12, verse 3, it says the crowns are on the heads of the seven heads. In Revelation 13, the crowns are on the ten horns. In Revelation 17, there aren't any crowns on the heads of the horns. But the woman riding those civil power is in full control. And so we are informed that in chapter 12 is a history of the seven persecuting powers of God's people. And therefore, the crowns are on the heads of the beast. But when we get to Revelation 13, the crowns are on the horns, because that's the time of Europe, the Dark Ages, when millions were martyred. And so when we get over to Revelation 17, there are no crowns because the woman is now in full control. The woman who's the apostate church. And so we have it. we have the seven persecuting powers. And the seventh is the eighth, but it's of the seventh, because it just simply means that there's a resurrection that takes place. Now, my friends, I want you to look at this last slide in closing. And I want you to know that the description of the woman riding the beast in Revelation 13 is this, 17. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And then in verse number 6, it says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of God. And when I saw it, I marveled with great amazement that this could happen again. So you have a choice to make. On one side, Revelation 17 is the beast. On the other side is Revelation 12, which is God's people. We have a choice to make. And we need to make that decision today, not tarrying, not waiting, not contemplating, because there are seven persecuting powers. And for you and I, six are gone, and one is in existence right now. But we haven't yet seen the power. This is telling us, when it starts happening, if you're surprised, you made a great mistake. Because the Bible is already telling us. It's a done deal. It will come back again, just like it was before. Only this time, Jesus will stand up. Are you ready for that? I hope so. That's why we have church. That's why we study our Bibles. That's why we get on our knees and pray, so that we will not be part of the deception, which will be so great, it says, that the one on the right will bring fire down from heaven in the sight of men in order to deceive them to receive the mark of the beast and the number of his name. Father in heaven, I pray that as we ponder these thoughts, you would prepare our hearts and minds to know how much of the world is really in us, so that we can come to you at the foot of the cross and cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and get this world out of me. Lord, help us to be like the pure woman. Help us to not be like the affected woman that goes with culture and the world in style and fashion. And Lord, help us that we can help others to know this so they can be ready for your coming, and to trust you in the time of trouble. So give us these thoughts. Help us to make decisions on these things now before we leave, so that Satan cannot come and steal away the seeds that were planted. So bless to this end, and thank you. You'll do it, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.